This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
And welcome into 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Sophia Smith and Tugger Austin. We're back from spring break, and there's a lot of hockey action. There's so much going on. All three of the local teams are on a good run right now, which feels like maybe the first time this season that we could have said that. And then we also have a lot of stuff around the league to talk about as we get closer to the final month of regular season play before, of course, we have the Stanley Cup playoffs. But first of all, guys, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, went to the city, had some fun. And now I'm here at 10 a.m. the next day. But, you know, I have no class today.
That's a testament to your mettle.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
I did not go to the city yesterday, although evidently a lot of people actually did.
Yeah.
Even though it was a Tuesday. It's like, I don't know, it was like the middle of the week. I had a class in the morning. I just didn't really feel like going anywhere. I did buy some Guinness, though, from Rams.
Jealous. Oh my gosh.
Worked out. I don't know. It's not hockey related, but I just can't get the World Baseball Classic out of my head.
Oh my god!
Because that was last night.
That was
Team USA lost
awful.
To Venezuela.
Awful.
That Bryce Harper homer gave me so much hope.
It really did. I heard.
Yeah.
I was brushing. This is totally off topic. I was brushing my teeth when it happened, and I heard it from my TV, like the silence after, and just the screaming in the stadium, and I was like, oh my god, did we just win? But no.
Yeah.
Alas, but you know what? It's okay because
Red Sox relievers will do
right.
that to you. Unfortunately.
It's okay because we did sweep the medals in hockey. And we had the Paralympics.
True. I saw
sled
someone
hockey,
comparing
gold medal too.
Judge to McDavid. And
yeah, at this point we're there. I'm like
that.
Really,
we're getting there.
Really yeah. worried about it too.
Because yeah.
like now it's like, is it a leadership issue? Is like, can Judge do it? I don't know. That's like yeah. that's all baseball though. Just like weighing on the mind. We gotta talk hockey though.
Yeah. All
three Metro teams or all three like New York
good.
Area teams are like on decent runs, I would say.
Yeah.
But like context. I'm a big
yeah.
context guy.
Yeah.
And for me, the Islanders are the only ones that matter anymore.
I agree.
Which, I mean, here we are. But also, I mean, I said at the start of the season, I knew the Islanders weren't going to be as bad as everybody was saying they were.
Yeah, we were.
They were bottom of the league projections across the board.
We were real unhopeful about
yeah.
them. And now, like, Kurt, every time I talk to Kurt about the Islanders, he's like,
I know.
You guys really thought they were going to be really bad this year. And I was like, I mean, they've been stunningly good. We can start with the Islets. You know, let's start off on a positive note on this gray Wednesday morning. Islanders played in Toronto last night. Matthew Schaefer, the rookie, of course, had a lot of family and friends in the crowd, and Islanders win. Matthew Barzal, we got to talk about him. I mean, it's like my favorite topic. 3 assists last night. He gets the Iron Man helmet.
Wow.
He's had a real good season.
Yeah.
Like, no one's talking about it. One of the best seasons of his career, I'd say.
63 and, points by now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On 45 assists. Oh, my goodness.
45 assists. Every time
he's got the McDavid
right,
numbers.
I'm like, wow. But, yeah, sneakily having a great season. And I think we should talk about it more.
Well, he's doing a great job, like, carrying the team. Like, not that they need to
yeah.
be carried, but, like, if there's anybody, I think he's the one who has stepped up the most in terms of, like, where his potential was. And he wasn't meeting it, and now he finally is.
Yeah.
And on my first night of vacation, I was, you know, as I was just telling Grace, the place that I was staying at in the Virgin Islands was very sketchy. And so we had to sleep with the lights on, and so I couldn't fall asleep. But then I did fall asleep at 11, and then I woke up at 1:30. And because, like, the time was different. Anyway, I ended up waking up, and the Islanders were going into overtime, and I couldn't fall back asleep. So I was like, I'm just going to watch overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barzal won in overtime, and I was like, look at that.
What,
glad I woke up for that.
What a guy.
What some people are willing to do for spring break is just baffling to me. Like,
but it's
wind
the Virgin
up
Islands.
Yeah, I know
but
it's the Virgin
beautiful.
Islands. It was probably
it
an
was
awesome
beautiful.
Beach, but like then you're like staring at the ceiling.
No,
night.
I was terrified. But it's fine. I survived.
And you
it was
came back
literally
piece.
Awesome. So
yeah, exactly. That's all that matters. And now we can talk about Matt
yeah.
Barzal.
I mean, Barzal's having a great year. I'm still, like, when I look at this list, Schaefer, is he a shoe-in for the Calder?
Oh, he's got to be, right?
Right?
Like Demidov has been great, but like, ugh.
Schaefer has the second most points on the Islanders.
And he's turned around the team. Yeah. And like, if they didn't have Schaefer this year, they are not
He's about to break 50 points.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
I would venture to say easily.
I would say
feels
easily
pretty effortless.
Calder. Some people are talking about him for the Norris, which would be insane.
Who won it last year?
Who was the Calder last year?
Sabrini?
That's a good
question.
It'd have
to be, right?
Actually, maybe. I hope that's it, because I have no idea. I was going to say I have no idea. Who
oh, no, it was Lane.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Which is just, like, insane to me.
That's crazy.
Lane Hudson, by the way, just to be specific.
But
Islanders... He's also very good.
Yeah, he's also very good. Islanders, we were away at this point, but back-to-back overtime wins in San Jose and St. Louis, and actually, speaking of Matt Barzal, I did want to kind of... This is, like, kind of old news now, but... I wanted to touch on the Barzal and Celebrini. Did you see this stuff where he like bumped into Celebrini and then everybody on Twitter was freaking out because like Celebrini was a little bit roughed up.
Well, they just do that every time.
They literally
like every time Celebrini gets hit.
It's
just
so
what
annoying.
It is.
It's so annoying. they were calling for a suspension and I was like, that's literally not how it works. But
maybe they did see that.
It's just not a suspendable play. But you know. That was like 10 days ago, so we can move on.
Everybody acting like NHL dives
right,
on Twitter.
Like,
that account is really funny, though.
but they win in San Jose. They win in St. Louis. Braden Schenn's return to St. Louis. That was a very emotional night for him. And Braden Schenn, speaking of which, scored his first goal in Ireland last night. Good night all around. Cal Ritchie had a goal in his hometown. Yes. Who we will talk about later.
Yeah.
In a lot more depth.
Suffice
because,
to say
oh
for
boy.
Now, Austin Matthews is out for the year after. I'm pretty sure he was still on a goalless streak since the All-Star or since the
it's been
Olympic
like,
break.
Quite a few months.
So, yeah. Interesting stuff going on in Toronto. Will we ever see Matthews in a Leafs uniform again? Who knows?
but we'll get into that a bit later. And the Islanders now on their little Canada trip. They're in Toronto last night. At Ottawa tomorrow, at Montreal Saturday before they come home Sunday. Sophia, you'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, I will.
Playoffs looking realistic, but there's a lot of action. Columbus cannot stop winning.
Yeah, the Metro is still like
the Metro
really
is tough.
Tight.
So
much so that the Devils are technically still in the mix.
Pretty much everyone's alive, maybe except the Rangers. Sorry. But playoffs. Definitely a possibility. Not a guarantee at all, but it's a very realistic chance.
I'm just
going to
be so annoyed if they're sitting in the playoff spot like basically the entire season and they don't make it.
I'm like you're not going to hear from me for a while if that happens.
It's too
like,
I feel like
it's going to
it's
got to
be too late in the season, right? Cuz usually the Islanders like the late season collapse would have already started by now.
Exactly.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, the meltdown would have already been happening, and it hasn't yet, so...
They haven't had a
I feel like
really
at this point, even if they, if it does start to happen, it might be too late.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have been saying this whole time, like, it is way too tight.
Yeah, it's too tight.
It's so tight.
It's too tight for anybody to really take their foot off the gas, but...
If the Islanders get jumped, who can they get jumped by in the Metro?
Let me look.
Columbus.
It's Columbus.
Columbus is
two points
behind them.
So Columbus is the biggest problem. There's like the Flyers and Capitals are both at 74 points, so they're like there's a little bit of space
the Flyers,
there.
Yeah.
Well, then Ottawa. Oh wait, no.
But if the Jackets jump the Islanders, you got the Bruins and the Red Wings who are both at 82, who are filling the two wild card spots right now, and like I don't see them. Stopping winning anytime soon. Maybe the Red Wings.
Maybe.
We have said the Red Wings are like a much similar position to the Islanders where we've seen them have that late season collapse so many times that you're almost expecting it. For the Red Wings, it happens in a much shorter window.
Yeah.
So they're still in danger up until like the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah. So let's say the Islanders do. Let's just live in my perfect world here. Islanders make the playoffs. How far do you think they can go right now?
Oh, God. I haven't even like.
Wait, I'm just looking at the. The Islanders have 5 more like wins than Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh has 15 overtime losses.
That's
just
insane.
That's just interesting.
Shout out the NHL for having a if the playoffs started today bracket up.
Love that.
I don't think this was a thing last year because I had a really like tough time finding this, but this is really official now.
Okay, so who the Islanders play?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, I think they got that.
Yeah,
really?
I don't. That's not ridiculous.
Okay.
Like Pittsburgh is. I feel like they're only solid just because of the veteran presence.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Sidney Crosby is always going to make his team really competitive just, like, from a mindset standpoint. Yeah. And I think that's just why they are way overachieving.
Yes.
Totally was supposed to be like a rebuild or like a farewell Crosby year type thing. But now they're like probably making the playoffs. But I definitely think the Islanders are like they're going to be younger, a little bit jumpier. Maybe Crosby scores a couple of times, but why not a Schaefer takeover?
Why not?
Also, problem is the second round's probably going to be the Hurricanes.
Oh my god.
If the season ended today, it would be Canes Red Wings in the first round, which would be kind of interesting. So, but I still think it would be the thing. Do the Canes get by the second round? I don't know.
I would say the Hurricanes would take that, and then the Islanders would be eliminated. Just because we see this every year, I guess, but I just feel like the Hurricanes have to make something happen. I feel like they have to get further than they have.
I'm also honestly not going to lie. A second round elimination for the Islanders this season, like, I'm not mad about
it.
I don't think you can be anywhere close to mad about that.
I would never have said, oh, the Islanders maybe go to the Eastern Conference. Like, no. Nobody would have ever said that.
Yeah.
Even the people who believed in them this year, not us.
But I also feel like I wouldn't be that surprised if they did manage to get there now.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like... power of friendship?
Yeah. But they love each other. Not even the power of friendship. I just feel like they've been so consistent this season. And everyone seems to be... like committed to the bit and and you know seeing Schaefer in the playoffs would be awesome.
Little rookie year taste of the playoffs.
So good.
That's good for the development.
You know what that's good for? That's good for the league.
Exactly.
Which I'm a big fan of things that are good for the sport as a whole, like having Schaefer in the playoffs.
Would really be crazy for the league.
What?
The Devils closing a 12-point gap to the playoffs with, like, what, 13 games to
go? things that I fear maybe not happening, but we can.
It might be 15 games.
I mean, the Rangers could even do it. They're not even out yet, technically.
Yeah,
no. Because they're 12 points behind with a game in hand.
Yeah.
Like, if you look just at the wild card, the Bruins and Red Wings are both at 82 points. The Devils are at 70.
Yeah.
But the Bruins and Red Wings both have played 68, and the Devils have played 67. So, Devils have a game in hand. Theoretically, you could erase, like, two of those points for the Bruins and Red Wings and call it a 10-point gap because of the game in hand, assuming they win. But it's also, like, assume they win every game for the rest of the season. And the Bruins and Red Wings both just fall off a cliff. Oh, and also the Blue Jackets and also the Senators and Flyers and Capitals can't win games.
Okay. Well, so these are all things that could happen.
The thing is, they could happen, so it's still possible. I've already caught flack for this on Twitter. Like, during the last Devils game that I covered, I was like, if they want to keep their slim playoff hopes alive, they need to have a good third period here. And the guy just commented, he was like, you think they're going to the playoffs, Lamau? It's like, well, great.
Yeah. I mean, no, right. We don't think they're going, but there is a universe that exists where they could go.
Is there?
Like, a far away one, maybe.
The thing is, they shouldn't, because they're just like... They feel really dejected
they would be
at times
a first round
this late
exit,
in the year. Easy money.
Easy. And a sweep.
Let's just say they're the Red Wings in this situation. Guess who they're playing in the first round?
Yeah.
Oh, Carolina again.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a five-game series last year, mind you, and they were healthy when they went to the playoffs.
Yeah. Not what you want.
Now Brett Pesce's injured again.
Again. We're basically already talking about the Devils. We just jump right into that. They've won 6 of their last 8. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Nothing to frown about. They play the Rangers tonight at MSG for the first time this season, weirdly. And went on 7-game homestand, 5-2-0. Rangers also went 5-2-0 in their last 7, funnily enough. I thought that was kind of a funny little coincidence. Just funsies.
The only unfun thing about the two losses for the Devils are that it was a shutout against the Red Wings and it was a loss to the Flames.
Wow.
So...
You know, didn't the Islanders lose to the Flames this season? That might have happened.
They just beat the Flames.
Oh.
So, I mean...
I think maybe the other time they played them...
Based on recency,
like,
they have more credit.
But Devils,
not too bad recently. And Jack Hughes scored his 400th career point on Monday.
Well, they beat the Kings, yeah, and it was a pretty solid
game.
Win.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Beat the Bruins in overtime on national television. That was cool.
That was cool.
But, oh my goodness, the refs. It's serious puck in that game.
Yeah.
The refs were even blocking the Devils from entering the zone. So, everything was working against embellishment against Connor Brown on a tripping.
Have you guys
when he
been
got
seeing the like, videos that the teams are posting? That it's an NHL rule that if there's no refs that show up, then each team can appoint a player to be a ref.
I've seen that on social media. It's really
so
funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I need that. I'm trying to think who I would pick.
I would love that to happen. I don't think that will ever happen, but like it would be so funny.
The funniest thing is all of those posts have like photoshopped like studs as referees. It's like McDavid dressed as a referee when it's gonna be two fourth liners.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
like people you've never heard of.
Like Max Siplikov, buddy, are refereeing tonight.
I love him. I don't even care if he's not that good.
He assisted Paul Cotter on a goal against Boston.
Thank God. I feel like I have not heard his name since he went to the Devils, so I'm glad he has at least one thing.
He scored once, and that's pretty much the only thing he did. He's like third or fourth line offense.
Yeah.
And they just like, I don't know. The Devils are really weird. They don't really score that often in a game where like if you score more than the other team, you win. They don't really believe in that concept.
Okay.
At times they think they can win without scoring that many goals, but... You know, here we are late in the season. They're down 12 points in the East.
They got the Rangers tonight on the road, and then the Caps on the road on Friday.
That'll be fun.
That'll be interesting. Question mark? Kind of.
That'll be fun. The Devils like being rats against teams that are like trying to do something. The Capitals, I mean, shout out Emma Leonardi. She couldn't be here today, but she was gonna. Like, give us the rundown on the Capitals. If they want to do anything, they also need to win, like, the same level that the Devils do. Maybe a little less, but still, they need to win games. The Devils love ruining people's seasons.
This is true.
At this point, like, it's kind of out the window.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Devils fans screaming tank from, like, the back rooms of Twitter, but... Why not go ruin some seasons?
I was going to say, if like you're going down, take other people with you at that point.
Absolutely.
I'm a fan of that.
Because if that's the mindset, you start winning games just to spite other teams, you might actually win enough to like make noise.
Yeah.
Maybe even sneak back in.
Exactly.
The math is still there, so I'm not going to give up until the math tells me no.
I agree with that philosophy, actually. Talk about another team whose the math is there. They're not out of it.
They're not out of it.
They're at the bottom of the conference.
No way they're not. Oh, okay, I guess technically. Though that's gonna come out soon.
Perhaps our next episode they will be.
No, it's like 15 games before elimination. So
that's true.
I guess 15 losses.
Right, 15 losses. But let's talk about a good thing for the Rangers. Alexis Lafreniere.
Good thing.
First star of the week last week.
I was actually so emotional when I saw that.
I was like, wow, not someone I would have picked for that.
He's been so good.
Yeah,
he's been
great.
So good. And that stretch, obviously they lost on Monday, but like that stretch of the four wins, which they haven't won four in a row since October of 2024.
Oh my God.
So.
Wow.
What?
Big things. But no, Lafreniere just like, I don't know. Because I feel like he has these stretches a lot. He has like when people are like, oh my God, he's finally being that number one pick, he's finally there, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if like tonight he plays and he looks like trash. But no, he was the whole team was like actually moving their legs, looking like they wanted to be there, scoring. And like Gabe Perreault also was playing phenomenally. That line,
that whole line has been great.
Perreault, Mika, so good. And I just think that like it was just like funny because then Panarin left, and then the team has played very well since he left.
Yeah.
And like, did you see the picture that Trocheck posted after the game? So sad.
Oh, that was really sad.
And they were all like so happy to be together. anyway, Lafreniere. I've always been a big fan of his, and then this season I've been like, you all were right, like he's not meeting what he was supposed to do. But no, he's there's true glimmer of hope. And true glimmer of hope with Gabe Perreau as well.
Oh, I think so.
Because I feel like he is just, he's going to be a big part of this team through the retool or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But no, I was just like, I couldn't even watch most of the games because I was away. Mm-hmm. And I also just like haven't really been watching Rangers games because they're so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I have something else to do, I'm not going to turn on the game. But I did watch the game against the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was really good because like the Wild are probably the best team that they played on this stretch.
Yeah.
And also it got very physical because Eric Sinek ran into Shesterkin and they all went after him. It was really funny. But yeah, I was having a lot of fun watching that team. And then I went to the game on Monday and they lost 3-1. So
in Panarin's return to MSG.
In Panarin's return to MSG, nice. Which was his warm-ups were super emotional because did you see what he his like warm-ups ritual was always to be the last one on the ice and then like shoot the puck into the net. And he was the last one on the ice, and he shot a puck into the Rangers' net and, like, waved to the crowd. Like, everyone was cheering for him, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Wait, that's really sad. I didn't know about that. Yeah, that's crazy. Really when he said post-game, like, I hope everybody gets traded to L.A., I was like, that's really upsetting. That's that, like, made me sad.
So sweet.
That was really sweet. But I hope that happens for him. I honestly hope that happens for him. Like, now I'm like, wait, he's so nice.
I know.
But
I hope everyone gets traded to LA.
That was like such a funny way to put it, but it's also like,
yeah.
Very Russian of him.
Incredibly Russian thing to say. But yeah, they won 4 in a row last week at Philly versus Calgary versus Winnipeg and at Minnesota. Obviously, those first three teams are like not that great, but take the wins where you can get them if
definitely,
you're the Rangers
yeah.
at this point. And they have 11 of their next 13 at MSG, including
that's
seven game
losses.
Homestand. That, and the first one is tonight versus New Jersey.
What a weird schedule. How did this happen? Like, the Devils have a crazy number of games at home to end the season.
Yeah.
The Rangers, you just mentioned, what was it, 11 of 13?
Yeah.
Yep, including seven in a row.
That's insane.
That's crazy work. That's
but
bad.
Their schedule is also, it's like, difficult. I almost forgot to bring this up, but I found the Tankathon NHL Strength of Schedule Index, and it's really helpful. This is a great resource. The Rangers play 11 of the next 13 at home, but they have the, 18th hardest schedule, or, like, in easiest to hardest, like, top to bottom, the Rangers are 18th, so they're, like, top half hardest in the league. They got the Stars, Sabres, Lightning, Habs, Blue Jackets, and Red Wings coming down the stretch. There's some easy games in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a little false because what the Devils and the Panthers are both listed as quote-unquote easy teams to beat. Yeah. And on a given night, the Panthers are not always easy to beat, even though they're on a down year. And neither are the Devils, to be honest. Like, they usually like give a team a problem for at least 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens tonight, but I'm just, like, sad that they had a good run, and it brought me so much joy to watch and to see all the media about it, and then now it just is over. Like, I knew
it
was gonna
end. It could keep going.
I know. It could. Like, they could make the playoffs, but, like, it won't.
Oh, I mean, in terms of playoffs, like, sure.
They could.
I meant, like, the winning could
very well
keep
going. No, I know. The winning
could
keep going. It's just that they lost on Monday, so now, like, the momentum's gone. No. And, like, Igor had his mask that didn't have anything on. Did you see this?
Yes.
His plain white mask. Well, now he started painting his mask against the wind.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it was was it empty until...
Yeah, it was empty until
because they were
Monday.
On a winning streak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to change. That makes sense now.
Aw, I love that.
But, yeah. I'm just also, JT Miller was playing... He played the Minnesota game, but he didn't play the first three games of the win streak. And
they've actually... You know what? I think the Rangers are in a unique spot because they're kind of... well, I don't know. There's three teams currently below them, like, in the entire NHL in points.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of, like, draft lottery, it's kind of weird. Like, the next team above them is the Panthers, 5 points clear. So, it's almost like,
you have
is there a reason to tank? They're already, like, pretty low.
Exactly.
It could get worse than this, but do they really want it
they, you don't
to
have,
that
it
bad?
Need to, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I feel like they should be fine. It's a lottery anyway.
I also think that
so, like, it's just
playing
like
well,
a little extra
playing
percentage.
Well, now is going to help the team morale a lot just in terms of the future, because like Fox was talking about maybe he's not staying. I don't know. I just feel like playing well and like boosting the team will help with like getting Fox to stay, getting Trocheck to stay, like getting Mika. Like, I just feel like it really builds team morale. I don't know.
If they figure out that they can win hockey games, like with the unit that they have right now, then they're not going to want to like break that up in the off season. But if it goes down the stretch and things don't really work out, that would make more sense for people to leave. They may still get rid of some people because remember this is a full bore rebuild again according to the new letter.
Yeah,
I know. So
I just think that it's ridiculous how he sent that letter out and then he only moved Susie and Panarin.
Well, that's exactly what makes me think that there's like more to come over the summer.
But
and it's like regardless of what happens to end this season, it's like almost like a last dance.
I don't see
type
the reason.
Thing.
There's not. I don't think that there's a reason that you need to get rid of Trocheck at this point.
I would like some.
The locker
agree
room doesn't seem nearly as rough as it was.
Yeah. It seems a lot. Maybe it's just because they want more in a row, but like it's a lot less toxic, I feel like. I don't know.
They've gotten a lot of, like, especially the Panarin thing, like hearing how that went, it feels like the Rangers, maybe as a team and a fan base, have honestly gotten like a bit more closure over just kind of everything that went on over the past year. It felt like an open wound.
Yeah.
Like everywhere in the Rangers organization for a long time. And it was just like, okay, this is just how it is now. And we just have to talk about how they're going to deal with this.
But
they might honestly be beyond it now.
Just
the Panarin thing could have been like
the
last.
The Fox thing worries me because he was asked, like, are you going to stay with this team through the retool? And he was just kind of like, we're going to see how this season goes or something like that. And that worries me because, like, he has no reason to go.
Yeah,
and he could have easily said, "I'm with them for the rest
but he also has no reason to give them the straight answer either.
That's the thing. It's like I don't really know what he's
and
supposed
then, but,
to say.
But
there.
Then
like,
it's like
kind of a tough one.
But then, it, like you dig deeper into it, make some hypothetical things. Like, is it because he wasn't chosen for the Olympics, and Chris Jury and Mike Sullivan were the ones choosing the team?
Could be.
I don't know. Speculation.
You never know. Well, now we have to talk about the rest of the league, mostly. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who Islanders just visited last night, but well before that, Austin Matthews has a torn MCL on his left leg after a hit from Anaheim captain Radko Gudas.
Quote unquote hit.
Hit, whatever term you would like to use. I'll let you decide on that.
Can we call it a flying knee?
Right, flying knee.
Perhaps.
And that'll keep him out for the rest of the season.
Plenty of it should keep Gudas out for the rest of the season.
It really should. It will only keep him out for 5 games. But the biggest thing that I saw surrounding this was the lack of response by Austin's teammates, who, you know, just saw their captain.
Yeah.
Now, you can say whatever you want about the Leafs this season, not a good hockey team.
Mm.
Their captain is lying on the ice, not moving. He can't put weight on his left leg. They don't do anything. And I'm like,
nothing.
That's kind of funny.
Crickets.
Why?
Business as usual.
Business as usual. Let's move on. You know, let's bring it back to the Islanders for 1 second. Whenever Matthew Schaefer, anyone even brushes against him, Matt Barzal is out there, like, ready to swing. I appreciate that. And other players as well, mostly Barzal is the one that I've seen the most, I think. But, like, that was nothing like that. Like, what happened to Matthews has happened to Schaefer this year, and we've seen them protect Schaefer. Protect your captain. Like, maybe defend your captain. You want to talk about morale on a team? I think it's obviously quite bad with Toronto because that is the first thing you should be doing as a hockey team is when your captain goes down after an obviously illegal hit. You drop the gloves.
It's great how cut and dry this whole like incident was. Just because like it's not like Matthews like got up after and tried to act like he didn't actually get hit, because he actually got fully injured and like could not get up off the ice. Regardless of if you saw how that happened,
right?
that's the, like, captain face down on the ice, that's the moment when somebody's getting clocked.
Somebody needs to have a black eye.
And that was the point, like, that, like,
it's,
the,
it's just how it is.
Every national TV desk I've seen that talked about this said the exact same thing. Like, the gloves should have already been off the second they turned around. But
and I just,
instead, nothing, and Radko Gudas gets away with hockey murder.
Right. And, like, I saw some things, like, the teams were saying we didn't see the play. That, as you said, doesn't matter to me. Why would, like, he's lying face down on the ice. Like, just go after him. Start a fight. We started fights for less.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if it's not in, even if it's not even in the moment.
Yeah.
You can start a fight 10 minutes later after play has already happened. Right. I just feel like that's what I've seen from the Rangers. I feel like a lot. Something happens and then 10 minutes later, Sam Carrick is not on the team anymore, but he's starting a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, to see them have literally no reaction is baffling.
It's really bad.
Did they fight later in the game, or was it just crickets?
I don't think they did. It was, like, radio silence the entire time.
Like, immediately after, there was nothing, which is a problem, but if there was nothing for the rest of the game also, that would be, like, wow.
It's like, they,
yeah, did it even
blow
happen?
Blow it up, yeah.
Blow it up, or just, like, does Matthews walk from that?
I don't know. Honestly, if I'm Austin Matthews, I don't want to be on that team.
Imagine being Austin Matthews in that scenario, where you just, like, you just captained Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And had, like, that kind of a teammate support, which was insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's a shot to your system for a guy who's now, like, getting the support that he's getting from Toronto. Especially the fans in Toronto. They, like, really make me angry. Because
they're awful.
Matthews is insane.
Yeah.
I don't care if he hasn't scored in 12 games or whatever it is. Like, leave him be. He will score again eventually.
Yeah.
But now here he is, he gets hurt. I wouldn't be surprised if there were, like, groups of fans in Toronto that were like, good riddance. I don't want him for the rest of the year. Because he was just cold.
Right.
And that's just ridiculous. Like, Matthews deserves so much better than he gets out of, like, the Toronto media, too. They also
totally,
don't give him any breaks. So, I mean, if, like, I would not be surprised if Matthews left. I don't know what kind of control Toronto has over him still, but at a star at his level, I feel like the ball is in his court when it comes to Toronto. Now that he's injured for the rest of the year, he's looking at the future. The Maple Leafs are dealing with a much more tangible now issue, which is that they're bad.
Yeah.
Matthews is dealing more, like, beyond, what's the rest of my career going to look like? Am I still going to be plucking away in Toronto, probably not winning Stanley Cups? Or am I going to go somewhere where they'll actually appreciate me?
Yeah.
And I could actually lift Lord Stanley.
I appreciated that around the hockey community, it was everybody thought the same thing. The Tkachuk brothers on their podcast said they would have gone after Radko Gudas. Good answer, Tkachuk brothers, who I don't always agree with.
That would be their answer for anything.
I mean,
they
want to fight people, but, like, they said it straight up. The TNT guys said it. Biz laid into them, and I was like, good job. That was great. He said, like, you can't.
Also, Matthew Tkachuk,
let that happen.
Matthew Tkachuk and Gudas were teammates in Florida.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Interesting.
The response around the hockey community was all.
Also, McDavid was talking about the suspension only being 5 games and was like, the player safety has to step up there.
Yeah,
and things need to change because for him to get only 5 games,
that's been the reaction. If it's a case by case basis, which I'm, like, certain it is for the NHL. If a guy doesn't act, if there's no, like, player response, usually their decisions and their punishments have nothing to do with the, like, the silent punishment of, like, the NHL players and, like, the rules of how that goes. But I feel like they should probably, like, maybe add a game or two if there's no actual, like, response from, like, just the players on the ice at the time. Because usually Gudas would have paid a much steeper price in general than the 5-game suspension. It would have been 5 games plus, like, a broken tooth or something.
Yes.
Or, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a broken jaw. Maybe.
Like, probably.
I mean,
like, an open, like, ice hit.
Matthews is out for
Gudas,
the year.
Like, later in the game, I'm just like, anything.
And, like, any little bump.
It was so intentional,
like,
too. It's not even like
I
it
know.
Was, like, incidental contact that he didn't just try, that he just didn't try to avoid. He fully stuck his knee out and skated directly into Auston Matthews' knee with just malicious intent.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and
malicious.
And that's why I think that it should have been more than five games. Because
it was obviously intentional.
So intentional.
Yeah. Just ridiculous.
Ratko Gudas.
Ratko Gudas continues to do his thing.
That's what's insane, too, because we knew about this.
Yeah.
The whole league knew about this guy.
Yeah.
And it still happened.
And yet here we are. Also announced yesterday, Leon Draisaitl will miss the remainder of the regular season with a lower body injury he suffered on Sunday against Nashville.
My fantasy team.
Tucker's fantasy team is not a good place right now.
Well, we recovered a little bit after last night. Shout out Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
There you go. Leon, obviously, 97 points in 65 games. Responsible, I thought this was a cool stat, responsible for creating or scoring 41% of the Oilers' goals this season. It's
nuts.
How over is it? Let's freeze
it's
it
over.
Like that.
It's over. They have
how
Connor,
will this affect
they have
David's
Connor
legacy?
Ingram. They're relying on him to get them to the playoffs and more.
That's not happening.
That's not happening. And now without Draisaitl, like this team is like you'll only have McDavid essentially,
who's awesome, but like my God,
he can only do so
give
much on his own.
Support. Yeah. Yeah.
But what if it is just like now? It's just McDavid takeover.
What if he's like so
he just just absorbs all of Draisaitl's talent and energy and just uses it as an individual. Imagine how insane this story would be.
Oh my God,
McDavid
they, like,
losing
the
two
cup.
Stanley Cups and then losing Draisaitl for a run and then winning the cup because he's insane.
I just don't think
I fear it's not going to happen, but I admire the optimism.
I don't think they're going to make it very far.
The East is really weird now. The Panthers are gone.
That's true.
The West is really good though.
Yeah,
that's a big
there's
problem.
There's a way to get them to the cup.
Yeah,
without Draisaitl and
the Stars might finally
so
do something.
Good in the playoffs too.
The Abs are definitely
I mean, they didn't rule
back.
Him out for the playoffs. They just said regular season.
But
Landeskog's hurt again, but he's with the team, so that's why the Abs are still good.
Draisaitl is their best playoff performer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually.
Like, if we assume
but,
that
like, that's
they
what I'm
have
saying.
To...
Like, now McDavid has to play well in the playoffs because Draisaitl's not there to pick up the slack.
I mean, I guess.
I don't know. Is that, like, that's not going to get you past Colorado.
No.
Exactly.
Probably not.
Or Dallas.
The West is crazy.
Or perhaps Minnesota.
Or Minnesota. I was just going to say perhaps Minnesota, too. Like, I
picked
them
as a dark horse
insane.
Last year.
Yeah.
I am so happy that they've, like, continued to be good.
Yeah.
And, like, now they have Quinn Hughes, so now it's just, like,
now
it's on.
The difference in points in the top three in the Central and the top three in the Pacific is mind-boggling.
It's unbelievable.
It's over 10 points. It's almost 20.
It is. it's really unbelievable.
Get Chris Kreider to the cup.
Get
Chris
Kreider
to the cup.
Wow,
and
I wish
get him
Devils,
a cup.
I wish the Devils were in the Pacific.
No, I know.
No
ridiculous.
Kidding.
They'd be like 5-6 points out of a playoff spot instead of 12.
God, the Canucks have 50 points.
Yeah,
oh my God.
They're really bad.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad we mentioned that. The worst team in the league probably does bear mentioning like every single week. If we're talking about the NHL in general, we got to talk about the best teams and the worst teams. Holy bad.
They're a minus 72.
What even happened there?
Minus 72.
I mean, Thatcher Demko was injured for like a large part of the season and then got hurt again. So, I mean, maybe goaltending inconsistency, but I feel like that's
they also traded away all their players.
Right.
Yeah, true. I mean, Quinn Hughes is gone.
Connor Garland is gone.
They got rid of Miller last year.
So
Brock Besser is still there.
And I was going to say. Patterson, but
yeah.
No, yeah, they're really bad. Flames might be the best bad team.
I was going to say.
They always
honestly,
they are just a problem every time that you play them, but they just lose a lot.
Yeah.
But they mostly lose one goal games.
Do you guys think that the Sabres this season is like equivalent to the Canucks during 2023-2024?
Oh no, cuz I think the Sabres can like did the Canucks?
The Canucks won their division.
Yeah, they won their division, but were they first round exit that year? Or did they like was it Western Conference final?
Wait.
Cuz I don't know if the Sabres are they Oh, I get, yo, oh my, 90 points.
90 points.
Yeah.
I barely even noticed that. The last time I really looked at the standings, the Sabres were, like, I think like second, maybe.
They lost in the second
round.
Whoa,
they pulled ahead. Oh, it's because the Lightning are skidding.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. The Lightning are on like a really bad skid for some reason.
Yeah. Wow, 90 points. I didn't realize that either.
Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
Because you were saying, like, because right the Canucks Carolina. Won their division, I was like, wait, the Sabres are. The Sabres
the
can
Sabres
win
the
division?
The division?
What? That's insane.
Yeah.
They could win
that's
the
actually,
East.
I was gonna say,
they're tied
good,
with the Hurricanes
that's a good
for the
topic,
most
like,
points
how,
in the conference.
Like, yeah. What are the Sabres going to do?
Yeah.
If only. What a magical season it would have been for the Sabres if they somehow won a President's Trophy. Because, I mean, they have the most points in the East right now, but the Avs and the Stars exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I don't want
97 points is stupid.
97 points is outrageous.
The Avalanche have 13 regulation losses in March.
That's actually disgusting. I also don't want them to win the President's Trophy because I want them to win the Stanley Cup. And they're obviously not going to.
I don't think the Avs care about that curse.
I hope not, but like, I don't know.
The Avs, I have always felt, are a team removed from, like,
the heavens.
General NHL, yeah. Like...
True.
I don't know what you call it, like... Aura, maybe? I don't
lore,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
I hope so, because I love
suppose
that.
We could, like...
Brock
we could call it the NHL gods.
Yeah.
Like, the Avs care not for the NHL gods and their workings, because they have Gabe Landeskog. And
so true.
They are 100% tied to whether or not Landeskog is actually, like, a part of the team.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's healthy, come to find out. But, like, when he was injured for that, like, what was it, like, a 2-year stint where he was just gone? And he wasn't really with the team because he was just, like, rehabbing really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, they completely fell off during the time that he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and they're good again.
Yeah.
Just like when they won the Cup.
That's
so now he's back and he is hurt again, but he's not like seriously injured. So I feel like he's still with the team during recovery now. So they're not really going to get much worse.
That's
if Landeskog comes back before the playoffs or during the playoffs, not sure of his status right now, but look out because I think the Avs can definitely win. Regardless of President's Trophy, they win it or not, they will not care.
Yeah.
If Landeskog is with them, they're going to go win a cup.
Yeah. I hope so. And then the Stars are also right there. Stars have won 8 of their last 10.
I can't wait
That's
for
kind of
Avs Stars. Let me.
Avs Stars is going to feed families.
Can they?
Before they
no.
lost.
No. If the playoffs started today. Actually, doesn't it reseed for round
I think
2?
It reseeds.
So it like doesn't. The bracket doesn't like follow the way that you would expect yet. So I think it would be fine.
Wait. So then maybe would the Isles still play Carolina?
Oh.
I don't know.
It,
I hope not. Please tell me now.
I think maybe they would.
No, they would. They probably would. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember 100% how the NHL playoffs
I don't think
work,
it
but I got to figure it out before. I don't remember
it. Doesn't reseed.
Well, if it doesn't, then Dallas and Colorado would have to meet in the second round, which is really unfortunate.
Why
that's a bummer.
It's just a shame.
Yeah.
But Dallas also has to get through Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs ended today, which is an insane first round series.
I just want the playoffs to start now. I'm ready. Yeah, we don't need to play. Well, actually, we didn't mention that the Islanders play Columbus on Sunday at home, which is a very important game because one of them has to lose. So,
yeah.
And I'm better not be the Islanders.
It really better not be because I really want to go to the playoffs.
Outside of that game, though, I mean, the Islanders have a lot of, like, they have a handful of tough opponents, but they're not really as difficult as a lot of the other, like...
Stars on Thursday.
The Islanders...
Next Thursday, I mean.
Or do they...
It'll be fine.
The Islanders, I think, might have, like, the second hardest remaining schedule.
Oh, okay.
By
yeah, they still have to go to Carolina.
That's by...
They have to go to
what
Buffalo.
What is it by, though? It's by the points the combined points percentage of opponents. That's what this like strength of schedule scale is, and so the Islanders like the combined, or like the average strength of or the average points percentage of their opponents for the rest of the year is like 60%. So,
they have to play Carolina
twice, Habs twice,
Buffalo, Dallas next week,
and the Pens.
Wait, this is so bad.
One more against the Leafs. That's free.
That is
one against the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
That should be a toss-up.
Yeah.
One against the Flyers.
Yeah, they should be the. God, I hope they beat the Flyers. But anyway, I think that
they're ready for it. I don't think they're.
They can also sneak. This might be controversial. They could sneakily take a game off Carolina. Just, I feel like it could happen.
Anybody who can beat Carolina immediately gains my respect.
Yeah.
I don't really know how they lost 25 games this year, 19 in regulation, 6 in overtime. But somebody beat them, and hats off to you. Yeah. I don't know how to beat Carolina.
I
watched the Devils
know
play Carolina,
yeah.
And it just looks like, how does any hockey
sense.
Team beat them?
Yeah.
Maybe the Devils are just bad.
That's something to mull over.
Chris Kreider. Hat tricks. That's how you beat the Hurricanes. Mm.
That's true. We should all remember that going forward. But, all right. I think that'll just about do it for us on this week's 5-on-3. Thank you, Sophie and Tucker, for joining us here on WFUV's Best of Not Only NHL podcast. And we'll be back with you next week for a lot more puck talk.